Hey there, and welcome to This is SaaS SEO, a show for SaaS founders and marketers who want to learn how to get their products found online, increase traffic, and grow revenue with SEO and content. My name is Pavel Grabowski. I'm an SEO consultant and content strategist. I've been working exclusively with SaaS companies since 2014, and in this show, I share all my expertise and experience with you. In this episode, however, I'm handing over the mic to somebody else. You're going to hear absolutely amazing link building advice from Alan Silvestri. Alan is a brilliant link builder who's also working exclusively with SaaS companies. And he's an absolute expert when it comes to building links to SaaS content. And I'm super excited to have him explain the ins and outs of the entire process for you. So let's get to it. Hey buddy, how's things? Good to have you on the show.
Hey Pavel, thanks a lot for having me. It's great to be here. I'm really excited to be one of your first guests as well. It's going to be fun.
You're the first one. You're the first guest on This is SaaS SEO. Super excited.
Awesome.
And absolutely fantastic to have you here. So listen, I get this question all the time, right? You know what I do. We met before, right? So you know I do SEO consulting, etc. And eventually, when I either work with clients or talk to new clients or just talk to SaaS companies, eventually I hear a question about link building. Now, this isn't my area of expertise. I know some about it, but dude, it's probably like 1% of what you know. So that's why you're here. So this is the question we're going to try to answer. It's almost like provides background and introduction to link building to anyone who's interested, who feels, okay, you know, we have a body of content or we're building that body of content and what's next. So but before we get to that, tell everyone about you. Introduce yourself.
Yeah. So my name is Alan Silvestri. I'm the founder and CEO at Growth Gorilla. We are a content promotion agency for B2B SaaS companies. And essentially what we try to do is we act as a fractional content promotion team for those SaaS companies that already have a content production and publishing a system or something like that in place, but that don't have the time or the resources to take the content to the next level. So promote the content to make it rank higher for search or to get it into the hands and the eyes of their target audience, essentially.
Awesome. Awesome. So listen, you probably also have to answer this question a lot or often. If you were to explain the link building process to a complete novice, somebody who's heard about it, and as I said, they may have body of content or may be working on it, how would you describe it? Let's take that kind of zoom out view at like 33% or so.
Yeah. Yeah. So in very basic, like common terms, link building, I really think the best way to see it as like building bridges essentially across pages on the web, right? So you have different pages, which we call the content assets, and links are essentially these kinds of bridges, right? That connect one topic to the other because it makes sense, because they are related, because they are a natural extension of each other and so on. So the activity of link building is essentially building these bridges manually. The best way to do this is typically sending emails. So outreach emails, for the most part, it's going to be cold emails, but you can also do this with your audience, use your newsletter or something like that, right? So there's a difference between the earned and the owned channels, right? So the owned channels is everything that you have, your newsletter, your social media, and the earned is everything else that you can earn manually by sending out cold emails, okay? So essentially what we do is send out emails, so email outreach campaigns to people to pitch them the links that our clients basically are publishing. So our clients are publishing content, good quality content, they're publishing maybe 2 to 10 new articles per month in most cases, but they don't know what to do with the content because chances are, in like 90% of the situations, that content is mostly just sitting there and not doing much for the client. Sure, mm-hmm. some pages that maybe are targeting a low competition keyword are maybe going to rank page one on Google, but chances are that the most competitive keywords and topics are not going to rank without any extra help from the backlinks. So this is also the second kind of factor. Link building is essentially building these bridges across mm-hmm. pages on the web, but they're also very helpful because links is one of the most important ranking factors for Google. Okay, mm-hmm. so Google takes into account the links between multiple pages on the web to know which pages are or should rank higher for specific keywords. Okay, so yeah, that said, what we do is three main things, and these mm-hmm. are the most common problems that a lot of companies face typically once they start to dive into link building. The first problem is they don't know which pages to promote or build links to be able to get the best kind of ROI from their content. The second problem is they don't know which type of links they need to acquire, and there's mm-hmm. a couple of different metrics and things to look at. And the third problem is they don't have the time or the resources or the systems in place to do the whole kind of work. Okay, and I would say problem number three is typically what doesn't allow them to even start, because maybe they just try a couple of different things. They stumble upon one technique that a blogger has maybe talked about. They try, it doesn't work, they get discouraged, and then they quit, okay? But yeah, for the companies that can at least get started, then the other two problems come into place. So they don't know mm-hmm. which pages to promote, and they don't know the types of links that they need to acquire.
So that was actually my next question. It's brilliant. You kind of touched upon this. How do you even start? How do you choose which page to build links to? So to give you a context, like I often work with companies with like 200-400 pages, right? So it's, mm-hmm. it's obviously, it's easy when you have five blog posts. It's almost like you can choose any of those pages, right? Or you go by the one you really like or whatever. Or if you decide to just build links to the homepage. But with like 400 or even like, you know, 100 to a couple of hundred, let's leave it at that, couple of hundred pages, how do you even choose? It's, you know.
Yeah. So the main thing that a company needs to ask themselves is what is their main goal with mm-hmm. their content marketing strategy, right? So for us, we work mostly with B2B SaaS. And for the most part with B2B SaaS is they want more signups, right, to the product. Yes,
absolutely.
So the main reason why they're publishing content is they're publishing content that covers typically like all three stages of the funnel, right? Top of the mm-hmm. funnel is more of the informational content. Of middle of the funnel is like the consideration stage. And bottom of the funnel is when they're ready to buy. So if you think about it, you have these three stages or types, like buckets of content, basically on your mm-hmm. site. So the first thing you should do is you should decide what is your main goal with your content promotion or link building. So do you want to promote your top of the funnel, your middle, or your bottom of the funnel content? Once you know this, you can like already start creating some kind of shortlist, basically mm-hmm. for the most important pages that you want to prioritize first. So let's say you want to promote your middle of the funnel content, which is typically the best thing to do and the easiest as well, because top of the funnel, it may be easier to build links to, but it doesn't do much for your business. Bottom of the funnel, it's probably the best like type of content to be able to rank, but it's very difficult to build links to because it's very commercial in nature. Yes. Okay, so typically companies focus on the middle of the funnel type content. So let's say now you want to focus on the middle funnel. Maybe from 300 pages, you already went down to like 100 maybe. Mm-hmm. Next step is typically to find what we call the quick win pages. The quick win pages are typically pages that are ranking between the bottom of page one and maybe page two of Google. These mm-hmm. are the pages that Google has already started to rank quite well, possibly with not even with a lot of backlinks, right? So chances are that these pages might be the easiest to push higher just with a couple of extra links. Okay, so let's say now from 100 pages, you went down to 50, and these 50 mm-hmm. pages are ranking between the bottom of page one and page two. The next step now is to identify, first off, which exactly of these 50 pages are the ones that have the most potential to bring in more revenue or signups for you. So you should have some kind of system in place in Google Analytics, some kind of goals in place to be able to measure exactly how many signups each of these pages has brought to you in the last quarter, for example, or 6 months. And once you have this data, you can essentially decide, for example, these 10 are the best pages that now they're ranking page two, but they're bringing in like 10 signups a month, for example. Mm-hmm. So if we push these higher, they might as well do much better.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Of course, yeah.
So yeah, this is typically the process that we follow on like a 30,000 foot level.
Right here. I'm going to turn this around now because a common situation I see is are startups who decide, like when they just get into SEO, and it's very often this happens before they even come to somebody like me, is to build links to strengthen domain authority. I'm just going to throw this as a question, does it make sense or not? And it's kind of like a yes or no question, right?
Yeah.
But feel free to elaborate. Does that make sense? Does that strategy make any sense? So you're new to SEO, you may have some body of content, sure, and you just decide to build links to initially to the homepage to strengthen domain authority. What do you think about that?
So I definitely agree. It's a very good strategy for early stage companies that don't have a lot of content published already. So the best thing to do in that case, this is what we typically do with clients that are like newer to the content game. Maybe they have like 5 to 10 pages. So the first thing that we do is a homepage campaign, and that does a couple of things. It helps increase the overall domain rating. So even though that's like a metric from Ahrefs or Moz, whatever, so it's not exact science. That said, it's been kind of correlated to higher rankings, right? So building links to the homepage does a couple of things. Again, it should help increase the overall domain rating. The overall domain rating increase will help like all of the other pages rank higher as well in the long term. So that's always a good thing. And the second thing that it does is it can actually bring referral traffic. So one of the campaigns that we do for clients is we try to get them placed inside listicles. So articles that are talking about top 10 tools for this, top 10 tools for that.
Yeah.
So chances are that if you can get placed in one of these articles that is ranking on page one for some kind of keywords, you can also get some referral traffic, right? So campaigns for the homepage are good for domain rating, but also possibly to get some referral traffic and some of like those initial customers as well.
Listen, that's amazing. And it's amazing to hear because, I often, like not often, but sometimes hear, customers or potential customers asking, does it really make sense? So it's good to get that professional opinion. So tell me the next step. Strategies? I actually hear this question, and I'm sure you do too, like an awfully lot. And I'm not really qualified to answer this, right? You are. So in terms of SaaS, are there any strategies that are particularly useful? Or is it just universal? It works like, it's the same for everybody. Or are there some strategies, techniques, or maybe types of links? Actually, not strategies. I actually should have specified it better, types of links that work better for SaaS companies for other industries.
So I wouldn't say there's necessarily strategies or even types of links that work better. Like at the end of the day, the Google guidelines are pretty clear, right? So a quality link is a link that is relevant, that is coming from a high authority website and a good authority page with some traffic and all of those things. So at the end of the day, I would focus mostly on seeing the whole thing in a holistic kind of way. And this is also why we try to do internally at Growth Gorilla. So we don't go and follow all of the latest shiny tactics or techniques like broken link building, guest posting. Like all of those are great, but I seriously believe that you can't take any of those to any kind of companies. Like any companies is going to be different. And so any of those can either work or it won't work for that specific company. So you need to look at your specific situation, see what you have to work with, what kinds of pages you have on your site, what kind of content you have on your site, and then decide what the best approach for your specific situation is. So internally, what we ended up deciding to do for all of our clients is we came up with a framework for the four main like content or like page types that clients mm-hmm. have. So we identified the main types being the homepage, right?
Yeah.
The pages that I talked about before, so the quick win pages, those typically yeah. are blog articles. The next type of content is the main landing pages. So these could be product pages, feature pages, or even like alternative to kind of
yeah.
page. And the last type of content is linkable assets. So anything mm-hmm. that has been built with the main purpose of acquiring backlinks. So these could be mm-hmm. like case studies, ebooks, research, kind of data-driven content pieces, right? So all of that stuff. Essentially, for each one of these content types, we identified a specific campaign type or process that we follow to be able mm-hmm. to find relevant pages that would be a good placement for these. That said, the outreach process, the strategy and everything that we do is basically going to be the same framework for all of these campaign types. So it starts mm-hmm. off with prospecting, and actually yeah. it starts off with strategy. Mm-hmm. So we determine the types of topics and keywords that we should prospect for. Once we have a list of this, and we typically segment these into different like angles or subtopics or the main topics mm-hmm. that we want to do. Once we have these, we start off with prospecting. Prospecting mm-hmm. is essentially scraping some kind of lists, database. This is typically Google search or Ahrefs Content Explorer. Okay. Mm-hmm. And once we have all of these sites, we use filters to do an initial cleaning of the list. For filters, what I typically recommend people to use, and this is obviously not exact science, but it helps to remove the junk from the initial list.
Of course.
So typically, domain rating 20 plus. Mm-hmm. We also like to use a page metric. A domain rating 20 plus, and then also mm-hmm. traffic to the domain. Usually, either like 1,000 plus or 5,000 plus if you want to be more like higher quality. And then the second thing that I also recommend is for people to use page level metrics, because there's been a problem, especially in the last couple of years, where a lot of blogs have been able to kind of fake and falsify their website metrics. So essentially mm-hmm. they can build a lot of links from low quality sites and rank for a ton of content that's essentially not very buyer intent driven. So like these very kind of informational, super, super top of the funnel keywords that can bring them a lot of traffic. But at the end of the day, they're publishing content across every single topic under the sun.
Yeah.
They are maybe publishing topic on health, technology, business, mm-hmm. whatever, right? So this is why if you put the site in Ahrefs, it's going to show you that it has a lot of traffic and a high domain rating. That said, the site is not relevant because it's publishing yeah. across everything in like out there, so it's not focused on a specific niche or industry.
Yeah.
And chances are they are basically doing this to sell backlinks. Okay.
Yeah. I was so just gonna say that they're most likely just selling those links.
Yeah.
Then.
So these are what people call link farms, and you should stay away mm-hmm. from those. So to be able to find pages that are good pages and not pages from these types of sites, the best thing to do is to use page level metrics. So you can mm-hmm. put a specific URL in Ahrefs, and this is going to show you the URL rating, so the strength mm-hmm. of the specific page in terms of backlinks, as well as the keyword rankings. So if this page is ranking for some keywords, or if this page is having some traffic. And so mm-hmm. if you have a page that has some keyword rankings, some traffic, and a good UR, typically 10 plus or like 15 plus is mm-hmm. it's typically kind of good. That means that is like it should technically be a legitimate page that's ranking, that's providing some kind of value to people. Okay, mm-hmm. so if you get a link from this page, it's definitely better than a page that's not ranking for anything, zero traffic, and just like basically ranking like position 100 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So going back to the process, prospecting. You use these metrics to filter out and remove the initial junk. Then it's very important. It's like super important as well, and probably the most important part for the whole process, to also do a manual check. So once you have this short list of the pages that are like maybe not junk, you should also manually check one of them each manually to make sure that it's a legitimate business, like a good quality site that's publishing good quality content, that it's still like up to date and publishing content nowadays, and that it's not dead like 5 years ago. That it's managed by a real people, a real person that maybe have social media accounts and all of these things, okay? These are all things that help you weed out those link farms, because typically those sites will be managed by like people that don't disclose their name. You won't see like any face basically on the site, and they will be super generic with typically a very low quality design as well.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy once you start doing a lot of these to easily spot them and be like, okay, this is a link farm. Basically, this goes out of the list, okay? So yeah, once you've done the manual check, it all comes down to coming up with the emails they're gonna be sending. We typically recommend to do this at a smaller scale than most people do. Like a lot of agencies, link building agencies, send out like crazy scales, like thousands of emails per day. We typically send out in between 500 and 700-800 emails per client per month. So our scale that we do is it's very smaller compared to this other agency. And the main reason for this is because we want to pay more attention to the email templates, so they are more manageable. What we do with the email templates, to be able to do things still at some kind of scale, is so instead of customizing each and every single email, what we do is, so if you remember, I mentioned that we segment the keywords and the topics when we do the strategy. What we do is we create a custom template for each of those segments that makes sense for the specific topic or subtopic that we're talking about. So we're going to have a custom template. And then, of course, inside the custom template, we're also going to have custom snippets, sentences, the name, the URL, and a couple of other things. So this kind of helps us send emails that look like they're customized, but technically it's not, right? It's basically a template that gets customized in the process. So yeah, this is essentially the framework that we follow. So if then we get a client where we maybe see that they have a ton of like different opportunities, maybe they are a very well-known brand, so in that case, we might go after like an what's it called? Like unlinked mentions, right? So going out there to see if sites are mentioning them, but they are not linking to them, so that we can like ask them to change that. Some other situations is if we get a client where there's an opportunity to create some kind of link campaign that can scale up quite easily, we might do that. For example, like all of those support tools that have their widget and they have the link inside the widget. So once their customer essentially use their tool, they get a link as well. Exactly. Those are all things that you can use to scale up. But at the end of the day, as I said at the beginning, it's all a matter of looking what you have to work with and then making decision with that, instead of like starting with like, okay, we need to do broken link building because this blogger said that it works, or we need to do guest posting or all of that stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm glad you're mentioning this, because I think that's a plague in SEO. If I can rant for a little, for just a second, it's just the going after the shiny shiny object syndrome, and I'm sure you're also getting those inquiries saying like, do you do? And then whatever the big thing is, right? Skyscraper was big, right? At some stage, everyone's like, do you do skyscraper link building? And even I was getting those emails, even though I don't do link building. But I'm going to ask you something. This might be a little controversial question, and feel free to say, look, I don't want to respond in public, but you mentioned link farms, and this intriguing thing about it, because link farms generally basically exist to sell links, right? And we all get those emails, or at least I do. I don't know. It mostly comes through LinkedIn, actually, oddly enough. So I'm sure people to see, you know, my LinkedIn profile saying SEO consultant, bang, like, let's approach this guy and see, like, hey, do you want to buy links for your clients? Now, safe or not safe? Now, I know you know the answer. I know the answer, but I want to, like, kind of discuss it. It's like, you know, from and approach it from a client's point of view or a company's point of view. Like, yeah. So safe or not safe? Or is this like a, is there a gray area where it is safe, or is it like absolute no, maybe, depends on the situation? What's your take on it?
Yeah. So in terms of Google guidelines, it's technically bad, right? So Google Google says don't pay for links or don't do anything, like even in exchange for links, right? Yeah. So links should only be earned.
And if you do, it has to be disclosed that this is a paid promotion, right? Of course, that's the official guidelines.
Yeah. So that said, 90% of the SEO industry like goes against that advice. Of course, we're humans, so we're always going to try to find a shortcut, right?
Yeah.
So in terms of like what I think it's bad for a client side or not, yes, those links, link farms, for the most part, are going to be bad. Like for the most part, chances are that if you go in there in Ahrefs, you're still going to find something at least that points you to a bad sign. For example, if you go into their like external anchor text, chances are you're going to find that they are linking to casino, like gambling, porn, like CBD sites. Yeah. And those typically are very spammy signals. The second thing to look at is the domains that they're linking to. And if you find those sorts of sites, that's a very bad sign as well. And the other thing is to see where the majority of their traffic is coming from. This is technically not always bad, but chances are that if it's coming from India, Russia, for the most part, when that happens and the site is in English, so targeting English-speaking countries, that's typically a bad sign because there's a disconnect there, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Or there's no traffic at all. Yeah. But what would you say to somebody? Now, for instance, I regularly get these emails or LinkedIn, and some of them come from, like, especially emails, you can spot spam straight away because it come from some ridiculous Gmail address, right? The greatest spam scam link builder in the world at gmail.com or some nonsense like that, like literally, right? But you get an inquiry through LinkedIn, and I got them, and they come from what seems to be real people with real jobs, right? And they say, oh, look, you know, I have relationships with X amount of bloggers who run websites, and they are happy to put a link. Obviously, this and sometimes, like, it's I'm not saying it's not genuine, by the way. I'm saying, but it looks like very real, right? It's like, okay, we'll only match this with the right industry, blah blah blah. So it's almost like a shortcut through your process, right? Okay, so we're skipping prospecting, we're skipping outreach, we're talking directly to the person straight away. But then again, you think it's like, okay, if a person is running a big blog and it's successful, and leaving metrics aside, there is the audience validation, would they be openly, you know, raising their hand and saying, hey, Google, I'm selling links, which is equally bad as buying links, right? Because so what's your take? Do you get emails like that? Like, as an agency, do you do something? It's like, hey, I have these like, you know, 500 bloggers waiting for your links, right? It's
just definitely all the time. Yeah, definitely all the time. So the first thing that you can do is just say yes, please send over a few samples, right? So then you put those in Ahrefs, and it's super clear that those are the types of sites that I described. Yeah. So there's no harm in asking, or just like, essentially like having a quick look. Sometimes, typically the only situations in which this is genuine and real is if the guy is a freelance writer. Like one of the new kind of things that we're experimenting with now is we're actually getting in touch with a lot of freelance content writers for like quality companies, right? So like big SaaS companies,
of course,
we're getting in touch with their content writers to essentially simply tell them, hey, I know you're writing content for this publication. When you get to write an article that is talking about this topic, please get in touch with us, because our client might be willing to provide you with some quote or some expert advice basically on that topic, right? So there's nothing bad in this. This is simply like providing value or a quote or some kind of expertise.
It's really a PR exercise. Yeah, so it's, really, at the end of
it. It's kind of similar to Haro or all of those, like something for journalists, right? So on the other hand, if the person is sending you a message with a price list of like 100 sites with prices and everything else, that's clearly a link farm. So I would stay away from that, because chances are that if they are sending this to you, they're also sending it to other thousands of people. So if everybody is using...
The unfortunate thing is that it might look great. And this is my take on it. I'm basically against buying links. I know there is that gray area, as in PR, digital PR, where you can get in touch with a freelance writer. And obviously, and this is genuine. It's just a different process, a different outreach process, really. You could argue that. However, my take is, if you're buying links from link farms, private blog networks, etc., well, the one risk is you get caught, but the other risk is they'll get caught, and Google's not going to be listening to your explanations. I didn't know what I was doing. It's just, I think, well, I may be wrong, but I think if they get caught, everybody they're linking to is getting under scrutiny straight away.
I mean, and I also know about some link building agencies that are like actively marking or signaling spammy sites to Google.
That's fair enough, actually.
So, I mean, the danger is real. And if you decide to participate in paid linkings or buying links, you're always going to have to keep this in your mind that it, like maybe not now, but maybe in like 6 months, it can be dangerous. So what we always try to do, disclaimer, we do pay for some links. But as I said, we only do it in a situation where we get down to a negotiation with the person, where it's essentially the last kind of weapon that we can use. And we see it as a fee to cover their time to place the link. So we don't reply to those that send a price list. We only do this if we are in touch with the actual author of the article and they are like, first off, we try to offer them something else. If they're asking for something in return, this could be a link exchange from the client if the client approves it, or this could be some kind of maybe free trial from the client's software. Free trial,
the demo of software, access to the software, exactly. It's a
or even
exchange, which makes sense.
Or like affiliate links, so maybe they can earn some commission from the link as well. But at the end of the day, if they're going to be like, sorry, I really can't do this, we might be like, okay, what about X amount of dollars to cover your time to place a link? And then if they want to do it, then we go ahead with this. So before we do this, the main thing that we do is also we make sure that all of the site signals that I talked about before are correct. So traffic, relevancy, no spammy links, and all of that stuff. And we really want to try to make sure that the person didn't do it before with a ton of other people. Even though that's always hard and kind of risky, right? So at the end of the day, what we do is we're still try to manipulate Google like algorithms, right? So even the activity of link building can be seen as something that's like tricky and kind of against the guidelines, right? Because you technically, according to Google, you should just publish content, get the content to rank, and
wait
people
for
will
links.
Link to
exactly.
Naturally. Yeah. Yeah.
And just wait for organic links. But of course, we both know it's just, you know, it's a pipe dream in many cases.
Yeah, I mean, especially nowadays, I think in the last 5 years, the rate of new content published, published daily is like, I don't know, 3 million new pages per day. There's no way that you're going to be able to stand out or even hope to rank on page one. There's only 10 spots, right? So if 3 million of new pages get published daily, you're always going to have some kind of extra push. And typically that's backlinks. It's basically just a matter of trying to play within Google guidelines and try to not get caught, basically.
Fair enough. You want me to include that?
Oh, yes, definitely. I'm always pretty open with that.
Fair enough. Listen, here's another question I have for you. And this is, I'm actually interested in your response, because I know it comes back in conversations. So, you know, we've covered why you need links and how, etc. But sometimes, like, it's like kind of the next logical question, really, is, and as I said, I know it comes back in conversations, is, okay, so I know why, I know how, but how many, right? Mm-hmm. And this is I know it's the one answer to it is like, how long is a piece of string, right? It's almost this answer. But do you have some sort of a method of saying, okay, well, we're promoting this content, this page or homepage or whatever, I think we'll be fine with X, or no, we have to go really crazy. In other words, mm-hmm. when do you stop building links to one mm-hmm. content asset and switch to another? Do you have a system for it?
Yeah. So first off, the very basic kind of approach is to start mm-hmm. like start building links or start sending out outreach emails and hope that you get links at least.
Okay.
Basically, until you see some movement, right? So let's say you get two links to this page and you see that the page maybe jumps like 2, 3, 5 spots in Google. So that's a good sign. Then maybe you should continue, right? So until, like, your number one goal is to get the page number one, right? So until the page is number one and you are seeing some kind of movement, then you should keep doing it, okay? Because that's a sign that it works. If you are still doing it and then you, like, don't see movement for maybe 1 or 2 months, that might be a good sign that you should change your strategy in terms of the types of links that you should build.
Okay.
So types of links is in terms of metrics for the most part, or topical relevance. So metrics in terms of domain rating, traffic to the domain, traffic to the page, and that sort of stuff. And
topical links, but they're not good enough links. So it doesn't matter how many of those you build.
Exactly.
They're too weak, though, or for whatever reason, Google doesn't see them as driving your authority, right? As good enough to drive your authority.
Exactly. So that's typically gets down to metrics and topical relevancy. Mm-hmm. Topical relevancy is two things. So the topics that the page where your link is.
Okay.
And the second thing is the anchor text, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have some sort of control over the anchor text, then you should try to maybe change that and make it either more or less aggressive. The four types of anchor text. So the anchor text is the text that people are using to link to your page. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
And so
anyone who doesn't know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the four types of anchor text, to keep it simple, is four main ones. The first one is exact match. So that's the exact keyword that you want to rank for. And that's typically the most aggressive anchor text to use. So if you use that, it's because you really want to try and be aggressive and rank for the keyword. Typically, that is no more than 1%, right, in a link profile. Yes. So you should be very careful with how many times you use that, because you could get penalized if you use too much.
Exactly. It can trigger a filter. Actually, we should probably also take a step back and mention that Google crawls the web through links and uses anchor text to understand what the page that the link is pointing to is about. It's almost like the first signal. It's like me telling you, oh, go read that page. It's about X, Y, and Z.
Exactly.
So when you access that page, you're already conditioned. You already think, oh, it's going to be about X, Y, and Z. And then obviously Google uses other on-page elements to validate that. But the link sends it, gives it like a first hint of what the page is about. And yeah, absolutely right. Too many keyword rich, or like you call them beautifully aggressive. That's great. Yeah, that can be very suspicious. That looks pretty much like trying to game the algorithm, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Because essentially that's what used to happen like 10 years ago, like 10 years ago.
Yes.
Right?
10 years ago, it was all about that.
Fill a page with exact match anchor text, them to this other page, and this would rank higher.
Yeah.
Google has gotten smarter, so it can essentially spot that now.
Going back,
the main types of anchor text.
Type of anchor text.
So exact match is the exact keyword. Then there's partial match, which is a keyword that contains some of the keywords from the exact match, maybe in different order, or that are related. And then you have
probably the same, right?
Yeah, so it's like similar meaning, like related topics. And then you have a URL anchor text, which is like a naked URL. So it could be like your domain.com page and whatever. And the last type is called generic anchor text. So this could be either like click here, see this link, or the brand name even. Like we include that into generic. So once, so yeah, it's pretty easy to essentially get a quick overview of what your current anchor text profile looks like. You can export your link from Ahrefs and then see the anchor text and categorize it into these four types. So then you can do the same thing with the 10 other pages that are ranking on page one, or maybe just the 5 pages that are ranking above you. So you can export their links, do this process again for their links and see what type of distribution they have. So maybe so the page that is ranking number one, maybe they have 1% exact match. They maybe have 30% partial and everything else is URL and anchor text. Well, maybe you have 1% exact and maybe you have 10% partial. So this tells you that you should be a tiny bit more aggressive and maybe get some more partial match anchor text to kind of mimic what the other guys are doing.
Okay.
Because essentially, I think at the end of the day, Google shows you what it wants to rank in plain sight, right? It's like basically the top like three results is essentially what Google wants to rank. Exactly. So the best and the only way that we have to get an idea of what we should shoot for is to take as an example what the other like top sites are doing.
Yeah.
Reverse engineering that. Yeah.
We do the same thing with content. Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. You just reverse engineer what Google wants to rank.
Yeah. So we were talking. The original question was about how many links, right? So as I said. Yeah, keep building until you see some movement. If you stop seeing movement, then change maybe the quality of the link, the link type. And then the other more technical kind of process that we follow for companies where there's a lot of links already is we get what we call the link gap. So how many links do the top 10 ranking pages have more than your page has? And that's called the link gap, right? So the difference. Then you should also take into account how many new extra links each of these pages is building every month, because all of those compound, right? Yes. So let's say the link gap is maybe 20 links. Those are the total links that you should get to close the gap. But then the pages are also building 3 new links every month.
They're aggressive with the strategy, so you need to continuously catch up.
So let's say that you want to be able to rank higher in 12 months, then you simply take the 20 link gap and then you take the 3 links per month multiplied by 12, which is essentially the 12 month that you're working on. And this tells you how many links per month you need to get, essentially, like over the course of the 12 months. So this, this is a very easy kind of calculation. That is not exact science again, but it's always better than nothing, and it gives you something to shoot for.
I'm glad you mentioned one other thing with this, and you mentioned 12 months, and this is something we should talk about. Link building is, like everything in SEO, is not a short-term strategy, isn't it? It's not something you can just do on Monday and be done on Friday and you're rocking the first page or top results, right? So tell us more about like what to expect in terms of timelines. And I know, again, how long is a piece of string? This is that, you know, that type of answer. But is there a way you can predict or what's the average even length for a link building campaign?
So typically for clients or sites that have quite a good domain rating, domain authority, maybe an established brand, we can see movement in as like quick as 90 days, maybe. So so within the quarter. So this is why we typically create a plan for the whole year to have a North Star goal that we want to shoot for. But then we work in quarterly sprints. So I think in most cases, it is realistic to be able to see some movement within the quarter. That's, of course, if your page is one of those quick win pages that I talked about before. So ranking page one, page two. If your page is not ranking anywhere else, then be prepared that it might take 6 to 12 months to like see some movement, depending of the domain rating, domain authority. But yeah, typically we like to tell clients that on average, they once, like, they might not see particular movements, like maybe all the way to months, like until month six, typically. That's mm-hmm. a good, mm-hmm. Like a good estimate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you also define some movement? Because I know in the ears of many listeners, maybe, oh, I'll be right up top, but it doesn't mean that, right? Some movement means that.
Yeah, movement means
any, just a change, positive.
Yeah.
And a noticeable
yeah,
change.
Yeah, this could be 2-3 positions, like movement up, or yeah. sometimes like all the way from position maybe 12, 11 to position like 3, right?
Yeah.
But it all depends yeah. on what yeah. you have, because also you need to think the situation and the strategy is going to change for every single keyword, because every single mm-hmm. keyword is different, and every site that is ranking for that keyword is going to be different. So this is why it's pretty much impossible to give like standardized like expectations. But yeah, like on a like ballpark kind of numbers, what we like to see is jumps of maybe 2-3 positions every mm-hmm. couple of weeks for the best high authority sites, or maybe mm-hmm. Like every couple of months for the low authority sites.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. And listen, I have one other topic I want to discuss with you. And so this is the complete opposite of what we talked about. And it's, so I, in my notes, I scribbled negative SEO. So you know where I'm going with that.
Yeah. But
explain to the readers, because there's different aspects of negative SEO. But in so let's start with kind of one scenario. So there's a company, a SaaS brand, has been working on content and maybe doing some link building that even after listening to you now wonderfully explaining it all, like realize, oh, crap, right? Oh, sugar. Like, we've done it wrong. We purchased mm-hmm. links. We got some low-quality links. So they'll go back to their whatever SEO platform they're using, run link building report, and it turns out half of it yeah. is toxic negative. Correct. All those platforms call it differently, right? So that's the first scenario. What to do now? What's the option? Mm. Because now mm-hmm. suddenly they realize, oh, we have those, you know, 20 links or whatever, this
yeah.
big number of links. But looking at it now through this, like, you know, using this advice and looking at it through kind of this way, we just realize they're all possibly hurting us, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do we do?
Yeah. So, like, chances are, so it depends basically on the situation, right? So if it's, like, if you think that maybe some competitors have been actively building a ton of links to your site to be able to harm you, then in that case...
Oh, that's the other scenario we wanted to talk about. So I'm just going to jump in and explain. So the negative okay. normally refers to a situation where a competitor is building okay. very low quality links to your site mm-hmm. deliberately to harm you.
Yeah.
It can happen. Yeah. I've seen it being done. But there's also that one scenario where the company's been building.
Okay, but the company didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they didn't know what to do. So I'm sure the answer is the same for both scenarios. I should have actually maybe mentioned both scenarios, but we've covered that now. So yeah, go
okay.
on.
Cool. But yeah, so if it's basically scenario number one, so the company didn't know what to do, they bought links and all of that mm-hmm. stuff. Chances are they didn't get a ton, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I mean, typically when you do that, like, you want to be careful. So I would assume like they didn't go crazy with it. Yeah. So the first kind of thing to do is to have a look at those links, see mm-hmm. how spammy those sites are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then like you basically have to make a decision. So essentially, if those links maybe represent more than 40-50% like, yeah, of the overall link profile, then I would probably mm-hmm. take some action. This could be disavowing them via Google. Mm-hmm. That said, most people nowadays simply suggest, if there's not a ton of them, to simply just leave them there, because mm-hmm. essentially Google got smarter enough to be able to ignore those links.
Okay.
So in most situation, like, unless they are not like really super spammy aggressive links, then you should be able to just ignore them and Google will simply not take them into account. In situation number two.
So basically in this first scenario, no panic. Don't panic.
Yeah, I would say no need to panic unless you've seen a pretty sudden drop in traffic.
Yeah, that's a different story, yeah, of course. Yeah. Like in general, if you just knew, oh, I built those, like I bought those 5 or 10 links, but you have 70 other links, etc.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a small percent. It's like fine.
Yeah, I would say there's no need to panic. Okay, cool. In that case.
What about if one day you log into your Google Search Console or whatever, or your platform, and you suddenly see a steady and growing, number of very shady links. And that's negative SEO, like the original term for it, right? So somebody's actively trying to harm you by building very poor quality links. And these can be, I'm sure you've seen it too, these can be really, pardon my French, crusty. Nasty. So what to do then? Now, I hope no one listening to this ever experiences that situation, but just in case, let's cover that.
So in that situation, what you can do is disavowing the links via Google like service. What you can do is actually disavow like entire domains. Okay, so if you see the links are coming from like the same or similar domains, you can disavow the whole thing. So you shouldn't get more in the future. And generally speaking, just keep the situation monitored, see what happens with those links, see where they're coming from. And maybe I think you can also disavow like an entire, for example, dot something, that like dot in, for example, you might be able to disavow that. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. So I wouldn't want to say something that I'm not sure about, but I'm pretty sure there's a way to be able to disavow entire like domains or subdomains. Okay, so that should save you some time instead of disavowing every single link one at a time.
To explain, disavowing means works in a way.
Disavowing
allows you to submit URLs. Please disregard links from this domain.
It's basically like you say to Google, this link is pointing to my site, but I didn't do it and I don't want it. So please disregard it.
The link
shouldn't count.
The link won't disappear. That's the important thing to understand. Mm-hmm. The link will be there, but the Google will just disregard it. We'll not take it into consideration. We're trying to rank your page or site, right?
Yeah. And the other thing that you could do is if you have a ton of those, so you should disavow them, but in the meantime, you should also maybe do some kind of other campaigns to counterbalance that. For example, the homepage campaign is typically a good thing to do. You might also be able to just build like a lot of like maybe even nofollow links that kind of contribute to balance the link profile and make it less aggressive looking to Google. Mm-hmm. Okay, so nofollow links could be like directories. So as long as it's quality and relevant to your site, that should be good. So you help counterbalance those spammy links in the meantime while you're also disavowing them.
Yeah. But anyway, again, it is solvable, right? That's the takeaway. It is solvable. It's probably a very scary situation, but and I don't wish it on to anyone, but it's solvable. Listen, Alan, this has been fantastic. I think we covered everything, of course, in very generic terms.
That's been great.
We only had an hour, but it's you've shared so much information, and thank you so much. This is fabulous. So, listen, question for you: if anybody wants to reach out or ask you a question or find out more about you or your company, where do they go?
So company is mygrowthgorilla.com. That's our website. And to get in touch with me personally, ask me a question, whatever, you can just get in touch with me on Twitter. That's typically the best place. And my handle is Alan G. Gorilla. So you can find me there.
I'm going to include that in the show notes anyway. So cool, buddy. Thanks so much. Thanks for coming on
to
the show, sharing all this advice. It's been fantastic to have you. Thanks so much.
It's been great. Thank you, Pavel.
Cheers.